Hey, y'all, before we get into today's episode talking about the totally gooptacular Return of the Living Dead, just wanted to make you hip to the fact that our digital show on Superman 2 from last week is still available for replay. We had an absolute ball last Friday night between the Out of This World Superman 2 show and the raucous after-party Q&A, and you can still get in on the fun, by the way, from now through July 4th. That's right, the replay is available. Just head to moment.co/wehatemovies and snag them replay ticks now. And also... Real quick, UK, Ireland, and other European listeners, don't miss our three-night six-show residency at the Oxford Comedy Festival happening July 18th through the 20th. Our shows on Quantum of Solace and Hellraiser have both sold out, but we've got four other shows where we're chatting about an Oxford set episode of Ninja Turtles for Animation Damnation on July 18th. That's show one that night. Darth Vader on the first ever live Gleep Glossary on July 19th. That's show one as well that night. And then we'll be talking about Dr. Crusher making sweet love to a ghost on the first ever live performance of our Star Trek show, The Nexus, at the early show on the 20th. And then we're capping things off with a big, fat We Hate Movies episode on the big, fat 90s comedy King Ralph. What better way to close out our first run of shows in the UK than with a conversation about an American pig who comes to England and makes everyone uncomfortable? All ticketing info for the Superman digital show and the Oxford residency can be found on our website, whmpodcast.com. That's it for me. Now let's talk about some goopy zombies. This week on the program, it's the only zombie movie that's appropriate to watch at a July 4th barbecue. It's the Return of the Living Dead. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
The Living Siska.
Brains! And we hate movies.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You sick fucks, you've seen one too many movies.
Nah, Sid, don't you blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in. As always, that's right. This week, the Summer Blockbuster Extravaganza is taking a little trip down to spooktacular lanes.
Yes. Well, I'll have to stop you really quick to let everyone know the events on this podcast are all true.
Oh, yes. Right. Yes.
We are real people with real names, and this is actually happening.
This is You Need a Podcast. This is We Supply All Podcasts.
Oh, man. I do love that this movie, which is indeed Dan O'Bannon's The Return of the Living Dead from 1985, does start with a Fargo-esque, yes. This is based on a true story.
It's a great idea. I mean, this movie is, it's literally a top five horror comedy, if not, you know what I mean? Hmm. Like two, three, maybe? Like just
it's a horror comedy that's actually funny.
That's great.
That's a step in the right direction.
Yes. And it actually has gore that makes it a horror. You know what I mean? It's not like...
Yep.
And it's I did not grow up with this movie. I saw it like a couple years ago. It was July 4th weekend. We wanted to watch a horror movie. We were like, oh, wow, how about that?
That's what you do.
And we watched it. And it was super fun. And I've now seen this a couple times now. And I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it is a movie that I didn't see until I was a little older. Definitely, though, a very famous VHS cover passing by it at the video store, for sure. This and the second one. I don't remember which video store in our town had two of them, and then there was another video store that only had the third one, which that was a real like, ooh, what's that about? Because it's the sexy lady with the spiky fingers on the cover.
I've never seen any of the sequels.
I think I've seen the one with the cloud.
The cloud
eyes.
Is the second one. Yeah, diminishing returns.
I would imagine. Yeah,
never really hits the fun heights of this. They're not unwatchable. There's certainly worse things on a bunch of horror platforms right now.
But isn't it crazy? Dan O'Bannon, he's basically responsible for everything we see today. You think about that, right? Isn't that crazy?
There should be a fucking statue of that guy.
Yes, thank you.
Put him on the Mount Rushmore.
Fucking Alien.
Alien.
Wrote Total Recall.
Yep.
Get Teddy Roosevelt off there.
Seriously. I would fully support that. And I think I'm the only person in the history of Earth that loves Dark Star. I'm a huge
You're not.
Dark
There's
Star
another person in this room who does.
I couldn't get through
oh,
it.
Oh, it's a fun movie.
I was like last year I tried to watch it. I'm like, I'm not the
Now let me ask you this though, Steve. Do you recall the screening circumstances behind you watching the movie?
My wife was out of town, so I was like, because she would never watch that movie.
Sure. Just, but you were alone, though.
I was. And I
first
was sort of stoned.
As a group
and
time.
I was like, nah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see alone by yourself the first time.
I watched it alone by myself. And
well,
I
you're
loved
a dangerous loner.
I am. Well, it's funny because like, I like this movie, but nowhere near as much as you do. Yeah. So we've got, we got different opinions and we hate movies.
On different O'Bannon properties.
Fun movie. Could be great. Background in the party.
Yeah,
really it's not a movie you have to pay attention to, which to me lowers it a little bit.
Great background on the party thing, though, because it is a movie. If you can like think of yourself like walking by the TV, what are they getting up to? Better get a beer.
I will say to this, why I like this movie is it has a tone like a Doctor Strangelove-esque tone that I think is few movies have the guts or the ability to pull off. I think that the tone here, the fact that it's there is no stopping the zombies, there is no right way to do it. They literally everything you do fucks you up, even which also is the punk aesthetic, obviously.
Yeah,
it's a fuck society thing. Anytime you try and fix something, it's going to create all these other problems.
Yep.
To the point where you're just nuking the whole world.
It's a better script than Crocodile Dundee. They should have.
Yeah, I think
they should have gotten nominated.
Is it the same year?
No. One year off. This movie is the same year as Rambo: First Blood Part 2.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So there's
totally awesome 80s. This is a totally awesome 80s.
This is a totally awesome 80s movie. Absolutely. I mean, I love the starting with the, you know, it's all true. I also love July 3rd, 1984, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It also, I mean, speaking of Dark Star and Carpenter, it gives it that Carpenter
Halloween.
Feel.
Yeah.
Halloween's got it. Where the devil's a big green gas glob.
Oh, Prince of Darkness.
Prince of Darkness, I believe, also has text, as does They Live, I think.
I think so. I
forget
it's been a while for Prince of Darkness, which is too.
Prince of Darkness, though, I'm almost positive.
Does it? Okay. Yeah. I love
the
that.
The devil is a great big gooey gas glob, Sheriff!
How's that my problem exactly, sir?
It can turn you into insects, is what it can do.
Don't tape it on VHS and watch it, Sheriff! It's so bad!
The end of the movie.
That's right. That is how the movie ends. Been a while for that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I love all the date stuff like that. And this cast, man, of people you don't like, James Caan as Frank, and like James Caan, you know, like classic, like workhorse kind of character actor guy.
Yeah. He's great here.
Fantastic. He's so funny in this movie.
Yeah. James Caan, the voice of Pathmark when I was growing up.
Really?
He would do the ads for Pathmark is a low rent grocery store in New York.
Right.
It's like sub, you know, whatever your good grocery chain is, it's below it.
Right.
But it's maybe above a C-town.
But yeah, it's definitely above a C-town. It's right in the middle there. And come in on Saturday for Pathmark. Ham, 2 for $1. Pathmark.
This is James Caan, star of Return of the Living Dead. Are grocery prices eating you alive? Well, let me tell you what's on sale this week at Pathmark. Honey glazed ham, $8.99.
Yeah, we found them in a vat downstairs, and I used an entire roll of paper towel to clean the lid off, and now we're selling them.
Don't let your wallet turn into a goopy, zombified mess. Come to Pathmark and save. We'll bring your bank account back from the dead with our prices.
Oh, there you are.
Kicked out of the other grocery store because of your mohawk? Don't worry. James Caan at Pathmark is okay with it. Are you named suicide or garbage or trash? We will welcome you happily into Pathmark.
We certainly won't kick you out if you strip naked in the frozen food aisle and start dancing on a tombstone.
That lady is welcome at Film Society of Lincoln Center. She is welcome at PJ Clark's. That woman is welcome everywhere.
Oh,
I love that woman.
But James Caan is so fucking funny in this movie.
He really is, and I can't recall him seeing him do comedy.
Because like his older roles was always like cheap heat president, like President Pathmark or whatever, you know what I mean? Like you would just come in and just do like whatever, or like the big businessman and be like, well, that's not gonna fly here, that kind of shit.
Right.
But he's so goofy in this movie.
It's
just
great.
Running around like full slapstick.
And Clue Gulager is good too.
Yes.
Like I love him as Bert the boss here.
From Last Picture Show, The King. Yes. Recently passed away. Did get Farina, by the way.
Oh, of course he did.
Of course.
R.I.P.D.
But yes, they're showing Freddie, who's this big punk kid, his new job at the, I guess it's the Skeleton Warehouse is
yes.
what it is.
Yes, yes.
Correct.
Come on down to Skeletor's.
Do you need a half dog? We got them.
Yeah, I guess it's like a medical supply
yes,
company
no,
is
know,
the idea.
No, we don't have catheters. Only skeletons at the Skeleton Supply Warehouse.
Why would a skeleton need a catheter?
Wheelchairs, go somewhere else.
Watch this. Yep, that's a... It's a dead jumbo spider. Okay, we do have that as well.
Yeah, that we can provide. A bed that raises up at the head and legs? Go somewhere else. Try Pathmark.
And all of our skeletons, authentic Indian, as in from India.
Oh, right. And what was the deal with the trivia there? That set off something.
It did it really?
Well, no, it's, people thought it was maybe like a coincidence or something. Like that line happens in the movie. And then a couple months after the movie came out, India announced they were no longer exporting skeletons.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
So it was like, oh, did this movie have that kind of a reach
yes.
that it made policy change?
Reverberations
in India?
Yeah. Across the globe.
We're
Return
make,
of the Living
we're
Dead.
We're going to make skeletons back in America. So many skeletons, you're going to love it.
We're killing so many kids, folks. We're killing so many kids, and their skeletons going to no use.
I'm calling it the Golden Graveyard.
Need the body of a Chinese dissident? Oh, you're going to have to go to the bodies exhibit for that.
Yeah, we can't sell those to you anymore. James Cameron's top four. This movie, Poltergeist.
Yep.
Mulholland Drive as Wally Brown. I don't
That's right. You know, he's the
movie.
Guy. I think he's in the audition scene that Naomi Watts is. And like,
oh, he's one of the guys.
Yes, yeah. He is.
Oh, okay. And then... The Pursuit of Happiness.
Wow. Yeah. What? Again, like just, I think he's the nice old man in that movie.
That's the thing. I have not seen that. No, I bet you I would, Dollar's Donuts, he fires him.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That's
too, yeah.
He feels
oh,
like nice. The guy
he plays,
who's like,
he plays Martin Frome.
Let me have you in here, Will Smith. I got to tell you, you do the worst work I've ever seen in my life.
Have you considered working at Pathmark?
How about homelessness? Have you tried that? Let's try you and your son try homelessness for a while and then come back and show what you experience.
But Clu Gulager is leaving early for the day. It's, you know, hard day at the Skeleton Warehouse that he
Fourth
runs.
Fourth of July weekend, buddy boy.
Yes. Absolutely, dude. Getting ready to party down once you leave your half dog warehouse.
See you at the barbecue on Sunday. I'll be there with bells on.
Right.
Don't forget to wash your hands after you handle all these human remains.
Yeah, don't bring any meat to the barbecue. Which also, so if because I think this is supposed to be a Friday.
Yeah.
And it's the third, which means the fourth has fallen on the Saturday. But you're having the barbecue on the Sunday?
Well, maybe, you know, that's where the barbecue, your coworkers
yeah,
can
that's
come.
Friends.
Sure.
People
yeah.
are bouncing around. You know, they got a family, your wife's family, you got to go see that. They just
sure.
go to the pool for 2 hours, come out.
They got to go see Rambo Part 2.
Oh, right. Yeah, that might weekend. Be in theaters yeah. at the time.
Probably.
4th of July is one of my, it's lower on my list of holidays, for sure.
Because you hate America.
Yeah. I do, yeah. Yeah. No,
celebrating
yeah,
horribleness.
It's, no, just even like the summeriness of it all. And I know, yeah. like, it's fun.
You prefer Memorial Day or do you prefer Labor Day? Labor Day I kind of like because maybe it's sometimes a little cooler.
I like Memorial Day at least because it's a three-day weekend. The fact that 4th of July could be on a fucking Wednesday. And I'm like, now what am I doing?
Yeah.
You're right. They're really bound. Can we just do 4th of July observed? Put it on the Monday or Friday?
Well, when I had an office job, they did do that.
Really?
It was the observed. Oh, yeah. So if, yeah, it didn't matter where it fell.
You know the thing is, sometimes I would get, they would do like if it was like a Thursday.
Yeah,
you might get that Friday off too.
Yes, yeah, so I would get a 4 day weekend.
That's
so
nice.
You're gambling with the 4th of July. I see what you mean, Steve. But sometimes you win.
I do think it's like a Tuesday or Wednesday this year too. So
yes,
I think
one of those.
But it is it's a holiday to get out of the city. I know a lot of
yes.
people like staying in the city.
Oh,
and
sure.
The big fireworks and whatnot.
Time to go
like,
to the Hamptons.
Yeah, well, as a dog owner, like anywhere out of the boroughs is like where you got to go. Like we go up to the Catskills, we hide in the cabin in the mountains.
They shoot them. They're trying to. People try to antagonize
the fireworks.
Dogs,
I yeah. forgot about the fireworks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
yeah.
horrible.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, as a kid, I liked the fireworks and eating hot dogs. But as an adult, I can eat a hot dog whatever I want.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And also, like, if you really wanted to, you could drive to Pennsylvania and buy some fireworks and shoot them off whenever.
Like that. Right. I'm sorry, we just recorded it, but like that delicious hot dog in Crocodile Dundee that they call garbage. I'm
Oh, oh right, it looks fucking amazing.
On the fucking subway tracks for that shit.
I can't believe we didn't talk about it on the episode, but yeah, besmirching hot dogs in this movie
with peppers. You could get peppers on a hot dog back then.
That hot dog cart with that guy. I feel
Shangri-La.
That was a real fucking oasis.
It's a mirage.
But yeah, so he's really, Clu Gulliger is really excited, and like
Bert.
Bert, and Frank is the
Frank and Freddy,
and Freddy,
and they've got a really good comedy thing going on. The two
Freddy, of course, we didn't mention, but that's Tom Matthews, who would go on to be Tommy Jarvis in Friday the 13th Part 6.
Oh, okay, that's it.
There are no fewer than three Friday the 13th alums in this
movie. Makes sense. You would shop them around to different horror projects. Will you take your clothes off? Thank God.
Well, that's Linnea Quigley playing trash in this movie. She's nude through the entire movie.
Oh, yeah, you could throw me out, baby.
Which was her bag back in the day.
There's her boobers.
There's her
fucking whole vagina, actually.
Pretty much, yes. If you read the IMDb, that's like, oh, I was covered up, and they gave like a fake minge, and then like the producers freaked out that you could see any minge, then it was like shaved.
Yes.
I feel like you're seeing the real thing here, and people are just making stuff up.
Apparently, there's cuts that fans of this movie are looking for,
Steve,
that have the pubic hair. No,
when you say fans, you mean Steve.
No.
Instead of fans, he means freaks. Because the other part of that
which
trivia
he means
thing,
Steve.
They're going up to her supposedly at conventions, being like, no. "I haven't seen your pussy yet."
What?
Really?
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, there's apparently a cut with your pubic hairs."
Do you own it? Can you give it to me?
Do I have it? Do I have it? I'm still working on it, but I'm gonna come to you at the Philly Horror Con next year and tell you about it.
I just imagine all, you know, you only see those pictures of con, you know, the con picture. You know what I mean?
Con.
You're in front of the backdrop, and like they're smiling, maybe doing
Freddy's pretending to kill you.
Yeah, exactly. Take your pussy out.
Like, I just feel like everyone with Linnea Quigley, like she's got like a frown on her face because right before the pictures, can I look at your fucking vagina, please?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some fucking pervert harassed her at whatever con. You know that.
The
shit
most
happened.
Anxious guy in the world, which is every other one of these fans, being like, "Wow, you really haven't kept it up, have you?"
Kept it up.
God,
vagina
shotgun to face.
Yes.
So that's going on. We're getting ready to close down the UNITA Medical Supply
Skeleton Warehouse
office / Skeleton Warehouse. Yes. And we meet some rowdy teens who are just, you know, like any rowdy teens in the 80s, looking for a place to party.
Punkers, man. Total punkers.
And then, yes, Linnea Quigley is trash. She's like, "Oh, man, I like death with a little sex. Oh, yeah, you ever think about just having sex and getting murdered?" Yeah. Like,
well,
whatever.
Yeah.
She
wants to get it. She tells her own death. Mm-hmm. I can't. What's the worst way you can imagine dying? I would be eaten by a bunch of old men. And of course, this comes to pass.
Sure,
in
sure
this
does.
Film.
Yes.
But she's about to come when she says that.
Yeah.
She's like this close.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, in reality, you think about it, in a way, we're all eaten to death by old men in this
country. True. We're being, sure. It's happening right now.
It is.
We got here, of course, the great Miguel A. Nunez Jr. as Spider. He would go on to be in Friday the 13th, Part 5.
Apparently, he was homeless when they cast him.
Oh, so, wow. Like, this came at just the right time.
It was a pursuit of happiness happened in this movie.
Oh, wow. Did he have a son?
I don't know.
That's why they cast James Caron. He had experience.
That's
this.
Right.
Yeah.
You know where you can get cheap food, Mark. Miguel, go down to Pathmark.
They often throw things out 2 weeks after the expiration date.
Pathmark probably did the craft services on this picture.
God.
Have you been fired for incompetence or evil? Come down to Pathmark. You can get a half pound of turkey for $3.
Hey, Miguel, here's some budget chips you might enjoy. They're Pathmark chips. They're much worse than Lay's.
No, they're not even Utz. They're just Tuts.
No.
Sutz potato chip.
Or get the big bag of Lay's, but that's with an I, not a Y.
Oh, a Pathmark. We don't sell that hippy dippy sour cream and onion potato chip. We just sell sour cream chips.
And now you can try a new flavor, pickles and peanut butter.
Oh,
we don't have Doritos here at Pathmark. You can have a burrito, which is kind of just more boring than a regular Dorito.
No flavor powder on them, just plain tortilla chips.
But they are triangular.
that's fun.
You have to buy the salt separately.
So they're all like, oh,
and
shit.
Suicide. Oh, great suicide. The great character Suicide.
Oh, my God.
Suicide, who is the third
yes,
Friday
Mark
the 13th.
Mark Venturini, I think his name is.
Yes,
like
he's
my
the
king.
He's the dude who butchers the chocolate bar loving motherfucker in that fifth movie there.
Built like fucking, I don't even know what.
This guy
like
should
the
be
Lord
ruling
Humongous.
Us over. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Hey gang, today's episode on The Return of the Living Dead is brought to you in part by Car Gurus. Now folks, we all need a little excitement in our lives, something to latch onto while dealing with all the exhausting parts of existence, and shopping for a car should be exciting, not exhausting. But between misleading prices and hidden fees, it can feel like a maze. A big green hedge maze where you're lost, running around in the snow in the middle of the night screaming at oh, wait, those are my nightmares I have about The Shining. Anyway, sometimes shopping for a car feels confusing and scary. That's where Car Gurus comes in. They rank the best deals, verify dealers, and make sure you never pay more than you should. Car shopping is a big deal, and now your big deal can also become your best deal. Car Gurus connects you with trusted dealerships when you're ready, ensuring a transparent and hassle-free buying process when you're set to take the plunge. With over 4 million listings, Car Gurus has more car listings than any other major online automotive marketplace in the US, so you can find the best deal. When I bought my car last year, I spent some time perusing Car Gurus, and the way you can calmly sift through car info one auto at a time, I gotta say, it's almost centering in a way. It's no wonder SimilarWeb estimated traffic data shows Car Gurus is the number one most visited car shopping site. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Gurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com. So for whatever reason, Tom Matthews' character, Freddy, is the party guy. Yeah. Let's go pick Freddy up at work. He always knows the tubular places to party.
This is such a thing that that you would do in your teens, though. Like, oh, my friend is getting off of work in 5 hours. I guess I'll wait for him because I have nothing else going on.
Oh, dude, yeah. The hanging out in parking lots, waiting for the friend to get. Oh, absolutely. Sometimes, you know what? You'd go into the place of business to just have a little fun with
your
friend. I think I always, but like at the movie theater, I think it was maybe the most hour I waited at absolute most.
Yeah, waiting 5 hours is a lot. Like
crazy.
We're told it's like 5 p.m. like almost on the
go
dot
home.
And they're
do
like
you have a home?
What time does Freddy get off work? Oh, 10 p.m. Yeah, we'll just hang around in the parking lot for
we were
five
hanging out
hours.
We
how is there that much to do at the skeleton house?
Yeah, what there can't be.
Also, why does the skeleton warehouse have to be open till 10 p.m.?
Yeah, exactly.
What are they doing?
We see him packaging skeletons. That's it.
Yep. I feel like the shipping, you know, it's fucking 4th of July weekend. The shipping trucks are gone at 5:30. You're done.
Oh, those guys are out of there early. They're union. They know what's going on.
By 7 o'clock, you're closing the skeleton warehouse.
And at tops, this skeleton warehouse we're talking about, there is at most, I think, what, a dozen skeletons?
Yes.
If you are really running this kind of situation, when you look at this place they work, you're thinking, oh, you would be cleaning this place out for demolition. That's what you're actually doing.
Yes.
Why are you're selling what 12 fucking skeletons a day?
And it's profitable because they have PT.
Sure.
PT, perfect teeth. How many people do you know live their whole lives with perfect teeth?
No coffee. That's right.
That's
how you
think
do it.
That there's a skeleton farm out in India.
It probably is.
Which is a crazy idea.
It's a crazy idea, but also pretty decent horror movie on Shudder that I'd watch.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure it's.
I bet it exists. I bet there's skeleton farms in this country too.
Oh yeah, without a doubt, dude.
Kid gets born, you strap it to the radiator.
Elon's got that kid farm down in Austin. You don't think that's a skeleton farm as well?
Who's got a kid farm?
Elon.
Oh, you're right.
Great. All of his birthing mothers are in the same place.
Yes, I mail my cum to the girls, and then I have another kid.
Would you like a free apartment?
Hey, that guy should get some brains.
Also, like, the shipping, you see, Frank is showing Freddie how to do it. He's like, all right, put a little bed of that, like, hay down there. Give her a nice little bed. And then he puts, like, 9 packing peanuts. Like, that skeleton's good to ship. Absolutely not.
But also, my other question, though, is why does the one skeleton have to be shipped in a huge sarcophagus-esque thing like Dracula's coming over on the boat?
But they're double stack, I think.
Oh, is it a double stack?
Or they were preparing to double stack,
perhaps. I thought this guy had a single apartment there.
No, they're putting peanuts on top of them.
Yeah, but then I thought they were going to do another one.
Oh,
on
you think there's room? Oh,
okay.
It's like putting beer in a cooler, you know.
Okay. So you dip that skeleton, and then you dipped again.
Maybe they're ready.
You're right. It is deep.
They definitely. I think they had two skeletons out. I don't know.
They're handling these skeletons. You would think these are prized skeletons. You had these things shipped from India. They're handling these things like it's a sack of flour at McDonald's.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're really throwing it into that crate.
What am I, at Pathmark?
Double dipping got you down. No problem here at Pathmark. It'd be difficult to find something that hasn't been in a human mouth.
Its chips are made with human bones.
Why would skeletons be discounted on Pathmark if they're cracked? Everything else is cracked here.
We get our skeletons fresh from Ohio rather than India. So we pass the savings on to you.
Ohio skeleton farm, dude. Made in the USA, dude.
Right outside love Columbus.
We're out of chicken, but we have chicken skeletons.
I do love the half dog is a really cool little thing that gets a little play later.
Half dog, perfect for grilling. Down at Pathmark.
Would you like to scare your children? Here's a half dog.
Throw it right on the grill.
We should talk about the other interesting thing with this movie is that it is a pseudo sequel to Night of the Living Dead. And what I love about this is that, so the whole thing is the fella here that came up with this movie co-wrote Night of the Living Dead with Romero. Steve's going to get his name because I can't pull it off the top of my head. But the agreement between Romero and this other fellow was, okay, we're disagreeing on the way to take the sequels. George wants to do it a little more serious. Yes. I think it should be fun. His name
is John A. Russo.
John A. Russo, that's right. And so their agreement was George can make his sequels and it's just of the dead. And John can go make his sequels and they could be the Living Dead. And that is the line in the sand that was drawn here, and one goes to lighter comedy land, and George keeps doing his political
stuff. But the cool thing, the meta fun thing about this movie is, you know, James Caron, it's like kind of the new guy, I'm spooking out the new guy thing, and he tells us, you know, we got down in the basement, we got this skeleton down there, and it's a skeleton warehouse, not surprising. But you ever see that movie, he doesn't say Night of the Living Dead. Remember that old movie?
He says Night of the Living Dead. This movie exists in a world where Night of the Living Dead came
Which is such a smart idea. It's like, you ever see that movie, Night of the Living Dead? And he's like,
Must work. <He's> like, it's a movie. How can it not work?
It happened in the 60s and blah, blah, in Pittsburgh, and it was a real thing, but then they shipped one of the skeletons over here. Total government fuck up.
Yeah, total government fuck up is an awesome line.
I'm screwing it up because I just, the body types. It's not LA. This is Kentucky, right?
Yes, it's Kentucky.
Yeah. This is Kentucky.
Louisville.
Yes.
Total government fuck up. They shipped it here. We still have it. Want to see it? And it's just.
By the way, shot fully in Los Angeles.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, that's.
No bones about it.
No.
The corpses still got it down in the basement, kid. You want to go take a look at it?
I got, you know, there's a guy named Mo Sislak coming to get some of these. I think it's for nefarious purposes.
Insurance scam, I think. Car insurance specifically. Bar insurance.
This is all a cold open. He shows him the skeleton. He's like, whoa, creepy. And he's like, you're afraid of it leaking? He's like, no, it's totally good, kid. U.S. government.
Hell no.
Army Corps of Engineers. And he smacks it. The gas pops.
The scariest and most fucked up thing about this movie is when Karen here takes a entire roll of paper towels.
Yes.
Spritzes the top with like Windex, and then he doesn't take some of those paper towels.
Nope,
no. Use the entire thing like a sponge.
Yep.
Absolutely. That is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
American way. Waste as much as you can because it's easier that way.
And you're taking Kluge-Luger to the fucking cleaners, paper towel wise.
Yes.
We're going to have to start buying all of the office cleaning supplies from Pathmark because we are going through these paper towels. I can't afford this at Grand Union prices.
But yeah, he smacks.
We have our bountyless paper towels.
Bountyless.
Yes, no bounty.
Ah, founty paper towels.
We do have famine paper towels.
Yes. I'm just reselling thin Scotch toilet paper as paper towels down at Pathmark.
But he slaps and is like, Army Corps of Engineers, baby. And then the gas pumps. They pass out. Cool synth score.
Oh, dude, right into this righteous synth score. It's so good. And yeah, I just love the credits over the gas.
Yes.
It's a synth score. It's a very pumping. It doesn't melodically sound like it, but it has the move of the Gremlins score.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. And when you hit that over the credits, it was giving me very much Gremlins vibes.
And then it's 4 p.m. Pacific time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we've got a military man who looks like he has a hell of a fucking estate. This guy.
Dude, I didn't know the military paid this
God
well.
Damn.
Oh, yeah, that's why that budget's inflated.
Yeah, we get this. He's Colonel whatever the fuck at the end of the movie, but we get him here. He's coming home. You know, and I love this. How was your day, hon? The usual. Crap.
Is it what's for dinner? Oh, lamb chops. I was like, I had lamb chops for lunch.
Dude, having lamb chops for lunch? What are you doing?
I want to kill as many lambs as possible. You see, because they're innocent. I hate them.
The problem was, you know, down at the Army mess hall there, they were buying all the lunch supplies at Pathmark.
Yes.
Got all these pork chops we got to get through. I'm having pork chops night and day.
I guess I should say, Ethel, I'm sorry. I didn't have lamb chops. I had lamb-like meat substitute in chop form, which was special at Pathmark.
Oh, it's Colonel Glover, actually.
And he's got this cool, like, phone setup thing.
This is a fucking James Bond operation this guy's got. You think it's like, oh, this dude's cool, like, bar that he's got in his office. No. There's scanners and radar and whatever else. And, yeah, he's just checking in, and he's like, all right, yes, I'm at home, and I realize I'm at call tonight, so I will be home for the rest of the night.
Yes.
And that's kind of just like, oh, I love that that's all you get of that dude. And
Until the end, you don't
know what he's there for.
Yes.
Because it makes the ending so much cooler.
Ethel, everyone knows good things come from slaughtering lambs. We all know this. It's always a good thing.
And as you would do when you pull up to your friend's work and you're like, uh-oh, I don't know how to read a clock. I'm actually 5 hours early. What can we do to kill time? Let's go hang out in the cemetery.
Look, there's no fucking video store in this town, man.
Yeah,
or
an arcade
store,
perhaps.
Yeah.
And, you know, where does suicide normally hang out?
You go into a video store, they're going to start pushing you. Why don't you rent Night of the Living Dead?
That's true.
What are you doing?
And they don't always accept your breasts as payments.
No, they don't.
Not always.
But
Lord knows I try.
A good amount.
Go to a cheaper place. Go to one of the more run-down places. I bet you can get a trade.
Oh, a mom and pop? They'll barter with that. No
pop
problem.
Pop is going to love that.
Pop would adore that.
I love Suicide's thing. He hates his friends because they mooch off of his car, and they don't respect that he's a lifer in the punk world.
Yes,
like,
right.
This is like, this isn't no fucking costume, man.
Yeah, this is me, baby. I'm Suicide.
Covered in these chains.
Yeah,
this is trash. Awesome. Will you stop trying to have sex with me?
Yes.
I am tired of this.
Yeah, wow. Real bummer
life.
There, Suicide.
Tina is Freddie's girlfriend,
yes,
and
correct.
She's the one that's kind of leading the charge. I just want to see Freddie. She's like the preppy girl in the punk
good
scene.
Good doubles. They do a very good job of getting duos out because it's Bert and Ernie,
which is
great.
Yeah.
Frank and Freddie.
Yeah.
It's Tina and I guess Tina is just with Freddie.
Yeah,
she's part of that trio.
Yeah,
then,
she's part
because
of the trio.
Then you have Chuck and Casey and Trash and Suicide.
Yes.
Yep.
And Scuzz is around.
Poor Scuzz.
Yeah, he doesn't have.
I'm sure it has nothing to do with his skin color.
And John Scuzz Candy has barf.
But it would be Scuzz and Miguel and Nunez's character.
Oh, and Spider.
Spider. Yes.
Oh yes, Scuzz. Yeah. I forgot about Scuzz.
Scuzz and Spider. Yeah. Yes. Scuzz not a ton to do in this movie.
No, he goes out.
So they wake up in the basement just coughing. So much of the comedy is derived from James Caron vomiting off screen in this movie.
Yes. I love with the captions on, retching was on.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah. Good,
love a good
retching.
Retch, dude. Love a retch.
It's better than puking, and it's certainly more entertaining than vomiting.
Yeah.
Retching.
And
give
it's
it
a little wetter than dry heaving. Mm. I prefer a nice retch.
Oh, yeah. You want it sounding sloppy, dude.
Yes. Nice retch.
Dry heave is just so boring.
It's, yeah, pedestrian.
It's like you can't perform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's nothing there.
Can't get it up.
I'm trying. Nothing's coming out.
So this, the releasing of this gas has caused butterflies to start flapping their wings.
Yes.
I love that
it's
little
It's caused
effect.
The little half dogs to start yelping and barking.
Which is the great, like, what's that noise? Sounds like dogs are barking. And they're like looking around for the dog. And then it's just this puppet.
James Caron is really horrified by this one specifically.
What? That's a newbie.
I mean, like, he is reacting to, if I saw a zombie actually coming for me, but he's reacted to a little, like, whimpering dog thing. And I'm like,
yes.
It's a little overdone,
they
but whatever.
Hitting it with a crutch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We sell skeletons and crutches.
Are you sure we're supposed to be selling stuff and not blowing this place up? Are you 100% on that?
They're also concerned because Freddy notices that the body isn't in the little... it's not a coffin. It's a barrel, basically.
Yeah. Containment unit.
Yeah, yes, it is a containment unit. Tony's like, it must have evaporated when it hit the air. I don't know.
We should say when the gas hits,
yes,
the shot of the thing, the face melting and changing,
yes,
is
great.
So fucking
the
cool.
The reanimation of it, yeah. Really cool. Stop motion effects, awesome.
Don't they mention that, like, the cadavers, they something like they... it's sold to like the military for ballistics or med students and stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's a news article a few years ago, maybe, about that. This dude found out like he donated his mother's body to science, and the military tied it down in a chair and then used it as like target practice.
Oh my god!
Yes, I did see some headline about this.
I think they blew her up or something.
Yes,
no,
she became chunks.
It's disgusting.
Popcorn mama.
This is
what
science.
Are we learning? Oh, a bullet will fucking kill an old lady. Got it.
Yeah. Oh, that bomb made that body blow up. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Glad we stole this woman's corpse.
I'm a scientist, Sarge.
Oh, man. I do love the let's spray some deodorant around here. And you've just got your actual spray deodorant.
We saw a body hanging in the closet before or in a room.
Yes.
And now you're hearing the zombie groan come from it.
Yes, yes. So then there's a Karen against, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's just the corpse like screaming from behind
him,
the door.
Him like half crying this whole movie is so fucking fun to watch. It sounds like it should be annoying, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
no, but it doesn't get to that because just the overly cowardly nature of the character is what's really funny.
Yes.
Right, and the whole like, what are we going to do?
He's the one who is actually like trying to deal with these problems of becoming a zombie.
Yes,
like Frank is kind of just, or Freddy, I guess, is just kind of like the whole time.
Yeah,
it's just
he turns into a big whiner.
Yeah, and it's annoying as hell. But like Frank is kind of the counterbalance.
There's a great, I think he's like, you shouldn't have touched. Freddy's yelling at him, you shouldn't have touched that, you idiot. He's like, you watch your mouth. You want to keep this job? I'm like, you're a zombie already, dude. Like, the job don't matter no more.
Yeah, no.
I just saw a half dog barking.
Wait,
okay?
You don't think I need employment just because I'm dead? Are you crazy?
That's fair.
Even if the skeleton factory stays in business after this cock up, I don't want to work with that guy anymore.
No, we're done.
No. Unita is getting somebody's buying that place and turning it into a real. Because, again, this is not a skeleton warehouse. You need a real one. I want every floor full of Indian skeletons. I swear to God. Because
really
otherwise, you can't. Who are you selling this to? Two universities? Who's fucking buying from you?
Come on down to the skeleton warehouse. We got a real surplus on skeletons. Lord knows we thought we needed this many. What a mistake.
Welcome to Pathmark University, where you can study Indian skeletons.
Oh, Pathmark Medical, dude. Look out. Discount medical license.
You can try these traps. Apples. They cut open your cadaver really easy.
Speaking of keeping your job, though, James Karen's whole thing is he doesn't want to call the army because he's more just worried about getting in trouble with work is the idea.
So he calls his boss. And again, this is another...
Bert,
yeah. But that's what I like about it. The social commentary stuff is so rich of just sort of like, what would people do in this situation? They'd do their best to cover it up. Just keep... is there a possible zombie plague in your fucking closet?
Pretend nothing's happening. The American way.
Yeah, exactly.
Bert comes, you know, if it's a reanimated cadaver, we'll have to kill it. And they have the whole discussion about, like, well, what did they do in the movie? Well, in the movie, they got to destroy the brain and cut the head off, blah, blah, blah.
Or you just leave it in there, see if it gets out by Monday. That's what I would do. I'd stack some skeletons in front of the door, make sure.
We would kill each other. Me and Eric in this situation could be like, no, we have to kill this thing. Find a fire somewhere. He's like, no, the skeletons is what we have to focus on.
Turns out I'd be right. You'd be making the rain come down into that cemetery.
Oh, it's the world's ending anyway, Eric.
I would
it's
not,
ending right now too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't tell anybody. I would take that fucking zombie out and throw him in the garbage where I threw all those Tony Hawk love letters and just keep walking like it never happened. Fan letters, I should say. Maybe one of them was a love letter. I never read any of them. Just threw them out in the garbage.
Did you write?
You've mentioned this before, that you were the handler of Tony Hawk's mail for a short period of time, and then you just threw it in the garbage.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
You're admitting to a federal offense.
Yep. Again. I was an intern at a publishing company that sometimes fan letters would go to, like, authors of books. Even, you know, he didn't write his own book. But it's like, oh, that we'll write the publishing company a Tony Hawk fan letter. And I was supposed to forward them on. And then I just didn't. And I didn't want to get in trouble, so I threw them
you
all didn't, out.
Did you feel any of them for, like, money? Any cards?
Here, Tony Hawk, I gave you $5 for your birthday.
Good. Yeah, that's my coffee for the day.
Also, is a fan letter really real mail?
Good, great point.
You know, it's like a children's letter to Santa Claus.
That's true.
Well, that's because we moved all that to the internet, clearly. Like,
sure.
We're not dealing with that no more.
I read every letter, and I'm checking in on you every Christmas. So keep those letters coming.
Are you ready for more independence as a financial advisor? Consider the RIA model. Schwab Advisor Services has helped thousands of advisors make the move. To find your path, start with Schwab at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths today.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Great thing, a bit of dialogue here from Clue Gallier, I believe. They want to go ahead with the destroy the brain idea, so he's got a pickaxe out of nowhere, and he goes, we're like, all right, we're going to open the door, and he goes, when it comes out, you brain it with that axe, Frank.
I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can swing an axe into a violent creature's skull.
It's amazing, and all the special effect work is great here. Like, the thing runs out, this dude's completely
naked. Chunk noise here when it goes into the head.
Oh. Yes.
Right, but first it, like, tackles Bert.
Tackles him totally naked.
Runs by everything and just charges at the boss.
Because as someone pointed out, at this point, Frank and Freddy are already turning.
Already, I see.
So the zombie runs past them,
yeah,
not caring, and goes,
got it,
and goes
his
right to
brain
Clue.
Is vibrant.
Exactly.
But it doesn't work. It's still, which is, again, like, it's a good way to do it. It's not the only way to do it, but it's a nice way to do
it. Great,
it.
Yeah. I think by literally being like, if you think it's the way in the movies, you're fucking stupid.
Exactly.
I think that's a great commentary.
And they heighten this, which is really great. It's like, oh, the destroying the brain didn't work. Maybe we'll cut the head off. And then out of nowhere, Clue's just got this saw, and he's making Frank do it. He's like, come on, Frank, be a man.
And then you got the headless body running around.
It's so good. This headless body looks awesome, man, running around. Pretty cool.
I'm sure Dan O'Bannon wanted a dick shot, but he just couldn't get it. Like a ghibli dick just
just that'd a zombie great. Cock.
Uh-huh.
Pee-pee zombie cock, dude.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. Oh, my God.
Would Universal, whoever put this out, be for that, against that?
Probably
I don't
not.
Know.
Yeah.
They could cut it off, and then it's like getting hard on its own. Maybe contracting, like, it's like getting hard and soft, and it's moving like a worm.
Oh, yeah, dude. Then it's like a Tim Burton stop motion. Oh,
yeah, like a fun caterpillar from a cartoon.
You know what? Frank, we might be able to sell this part. This part might just get us something.
Come on down to Pathmark. We'll sell you a live sentient accordion cock.
Is it meat for consumption or a sex toy? You decide.
This is a novelty can of peanuts. And when you try to open it, it just has zombie floppy cocks that fly out of it.
April Fupa!
Get a free can of Living Dead Frankenbeans.
Oh, no.
Well, there you go.
Oh, God, it's disgusting.
But so they realize it. Now everything works independently. There is no way to kill the zombie, at least the way they don't think it is.
Right. They're trying to throw acid on it at another point, and that doesn't work. So then it's like, oh, Ernie says,
Bert,
fella.
Ernie hasn't come in yet.
Bert is like, oh, well, my good pal Ernie across the way there at the crematorium, he could help us get rid of this problem.
Now, so this is like the dead district. You can get your skeletons over here. Mm-hmm. You can bury them in the back of the graveyard.
Exactly.
And you've got the funeral home right there.
This way to bury them and do it that way, or this way to have them stripped, boiled, and put on the market skeleton.
Right. And you saw, you know, you guys, Ernie, my God, right?
I love
what
that.
What a history he's got. Nazi, former Nazi.
Escape Nazi.
What's the thing he says? I'll find it in my notes. We keep
going. When he's looking at the rainstorm.
Soldats, something.
Ein betrunkener Soldat. Yeah, the rain's coming down like a drunken soldier.
That sounds
German. He's also, when he's introduced, on his headphones, he's listening to the Panzer, like the tank song from the African campaign of the Nazis.
Yeah, yeah. This dude is
good job.
Certainly coded as
it. He's got a photo of Eva Braun on his desk.
Oh, I did not see that.
That's so good. Photo. There's like a doodle, or there is a drawing of Hitler also somewhere.
And the blonde hair. The fact that he's this shitty blonde hair.
But it's also funny because he does it completely American accent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
it's
just. They walk guy, amongst us.
The killer from Weekend at Bernie's.
Yes, he's the dude who makes Bernie OD, which is very funny. But it's awesome watching the distinction between this dude's office and the office at the Skeleton Warehouse, which is your classic, no women work here, it's all just dudes, because pornography is all over the locker room area, the office area.
Bikini babes.
This is all Hitler memorabilia and whatnot.
This is Don Kalfa, by the
way. Don Kalfa. Yeah, this guy is really funny in
great
this movie.
Great face.
Mm-hmm. By the way, folks, I'm right into the mailbag. If you've ever had, now, I've been fascinated with this thing, right? You know, like, if your dad had, like,
collector's plates? Oh.
Like basically pornography. All over the garage.
Right, the garage, yeah.
Like, that's your old man have a workshop.
A goon cave.
Was he changing his own oil for a long time in the garage?
I wouldn't have had to do that if it wasn't for your rotten mother, my ex-wife, clearly.
Well, that's, of course, this country has gotten worse, Eric, because goon caves, you used to be able to, you know what? Sometime on the Bikini Babes, then back to the old transmission. Sometimes on the Bikini Babes, sure. back to the transmission. You now were, it's just Bikini Babe, Bikini
we were,
Babe,
you're
Bikini
right,
Babe.
We were more productive.
Yes, thank God. And you knew stuff. You used to have a trade, God damn it.
I do
Instead
love...
Instead of trading nudes.
Yes, God damn it.
adding,
or feed pics.
Feed pics, obviously. Adding to Ernie's being a Nazi in hiding, I do love that... He gets the knock on the door and has to answer it in the middle of the night. Gun out, of course. You never know who's coming for you. And when.
The German-style long pistol barrel thing.
Yep, yes. Absolutely.
From Rommel's personal collection.
And he is in the process of what he calls breaking out a corpse, which is once rigor mortis sets in, it's this fellow's job to crack it and stretch it so that we can make it bendable again.
And here we go. Laffy Taffy time.
You know, and this movie brings to mind something I think about often, which is like, you know, due to, you know, the way we handle the dead and whatnot. Like, obviously, these kinds of jobs are needed.
Sure.
But man, however it is you fall into it, I just couldn't tell.
I guarantee it pays well. I guarantee
it. Sure it does. Yeah. I'm sure it does.
I'm sure there's a lot of family business.
Oh, yeah.
Could have been that. Yeah, we knew a fella back in the day who was going into some training for it. I don't know if he actually
was that
ever...
just for like get his kicks off or.
Well, he was a weird guy to begin with.
He was a weird guy.
So it did raise some eyebrows. But I don't know if he ever like got. Far
all the way
training.
Into it.
He was doing the training last time we talked with
him. I got to tell you, folks, listen, best case scenario, you know you're dying, right? Swallow a grenade real fast. Because otherwise, these guys are doing all God knows what
to
you.
You cannot tell me that at least the male students, they're getting at least one grope. Maybe they're only doing one.
I'm talking full penetration, my friend.
You think so?
Absolutely.
You think this is everyone? Because like,
not everyone.
That's
of
the thing.
Them,
as I think,
just the majority.
But the overriding the overriding crime is the fondling, and
yes,
that is definitely happening with all of them once.
Oh, it has to be. Dude, they're checking out your bits, and they're like flapping it around,
those are nice nipples,
putting a cigarette out on it.
It could be one of the biggest speaking and no one's looking.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
it's the king of that.
You know,
You know what? Body cams.
There's probably
put body cams on these guys and the bodies.
I guarantee you the people who run these places, like the boss of the boss, it's a three strike and it's not a first time you're in trouble.
Okay, Gary, I'll let you off the hook this time, but two more times, my friend, and you're fired.
No, it's a threesome and you're out. If you do it two at once, you're out of here.
Hey,
otherwise, what? Sure.
Hey, yeah, Jack, could you come in my office here? Could you explain to me that we have Miss Gulliver here, and there are... well, I don't know how else to say this. There are lipstick marks all over her body. What did you do last night?
It appears that she was manhandled worse than the produce at Pathmark.
And I didn't think that was possible. I honestly, that stuff's mush to begin with.
Those people treat their vegetables like shit.
You cannot buy a yellow banana in that place. It's all brown.
This woman's more bruised than an apple at Pathmark.
The oranges are brown there, too. They're all brown.
What'd you do? Drop her down the fucking stairs like a watermelon in Pathmark? What are you doing here?
Their juices are leaking out.
This corpse has more dents in it than a can of beans at Pathmark.
Come down to Pathmark, where this July 4th, you can have half of a smashed watermelon.
This display is full of dented items that are half off. At Pathmark.
The display being the entire store.
Those Frankenbeans that made everybody sick and die, on sale for $1.02.
This weekend at Pathmark, that ain't potato salad.
Figure it out.
Also 50% off if you do.
But yeah, so they go to Ernie. And it's kind of, I love Clu Gulager here just being like, hey, buddy, how long we known each other?
Yes.
Anytime someone starts a sentence with how long we known each other, you're being asked a huge fucking favor.
You know, it is a boundary crossing request that is about to happen.
Hey,
yes,
buddy,
absolutely.
We've been working in the death field for quite a long time now. What do you say we kill the world? How about we just go ahead and destroy this by releasing a plague on how you ever call your cemetery Resurrection Cemetery?
It's great.
I would not want to bury anyone there.
No, man, because the only step worse than that is just literally calling it Pet Cemetery.
Death doesn't exist cemetery.
But at first he says, like, oh, these are rabid weasels. Burned.
Because they have dismembered this corpse and put it in garbage bags.
Yes.
And all the little puppets inside are making the bags move. It's pretty great.
Can I see him?
Yeah, well,
can I see these weasels?
He's like, no, you can't. And then he's like, well, all right, that's inhumane. I'll burn the weasels for you. I know you want to get in trouble. I'll just go up back and shoot him. And then he has to be like, all right, listen, you ever see that movie Night of the Dead? All right, I'll run through it. We cut back to the cemetery. The cool thing, I mean, like, the cemetery is called the Resurrection Cemetery. On the front of it, when they're bringing in, someone has spray painted No Future, which is, I do think some of the, like, we talk about the, like, in 28 Days Later, we talk about the zombie genre a lot. We talk about, I like the hope in that movie because so much of zombie stuff is so nihilistic. This is nihilistic, but it's fun nihilism. There is a difference. Like, the Walking Dead universe is such grindingly bleak nihilism. Yeah, it's grim.
Dread.
Watching that show is just like sitting in that bottomless chair from Casino Royale, and I'm just getting whipped in the nuts.
It's like, all right, now this one's dead. Oh, that one died too. Okay, cool. Like, this, at least, like, it's like, yeah, whatever, dude. It's all gonna burn. I might as well dance in a graveyard, kind of a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The dancing in the graveyard is around here. We cut back, you know, to the cemetery every so often. There is a move here where they're like, oh, it's almost 10 o'clock. Tina's like, oh, I'm gonna go check on Freddy.
Yeah.
I have to say, you don't comment on cinematography a lot in gloopy gloppy horror movies like this. But Dan O'Bannon apparently was bummed about this sequence of all of these really high angle, like looking down this whole industrial area.
Yes.
This shot where she runs across the campus, such as it is, to the Unita Supply Company from the cemetery. It's this amazing, great shot. And O'Bannon was like, oh, I wish there was more close-ups because then you would have got more of her interior. And I'm like, dude, you make a Return of the Living Dead. This is a great shot you accidentally had in the movie. Like, take the win, buddy.
You're also about to have one of the best homages to Metropolis ever.
But so it's like, all right, well, I'll use... And it's kind of funny because Ernie, such a good guy, such a good old Nazi. You'll just owe me big time. And he never says what it is because he's just, it's okay. You know?
Yeah, it's like a you'll owe me, you know.
Yeah.
It's like I borrowed $20 from my dad one time in high school. He was like, you pay me back now. I was like, yeah, definitely.
Also interesting that he was the character to be worried about something not being humane.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
But you put the, he's going to put the thing on the pizza oven, which is the
the crematorium.
Oh, dude, now
this is the only way to go, by the way.
Making a giant pizza? Look how big this thing is. You can make such a big pizza.
Big honking pizza right here.
Cremate me, put me in a Folgers jar, call it a day.
Yes, I think that's the way to go.
Throw me in the ocean, let some of it hit one of you in the face while you're saying goodbyes to me.
I don't want to be part of some guy's report of his second strike. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I told you, I'm not dressing up like Walter. We've been over this a bunch of times. Steve's going to do the Lebowski thing. I'm going to do the Walter. But I'm not doing the stupid vest. I can't do it.
As long as you have the orange tinted sunglasses,
that's fine.
That's all
I can do. That
you know,
I can do.
They will, you know, Steve. You know, you're not safe from the butcher yet.
That's true.
Once you pass, it's going to be a day. They can't cremate you immediately.
Yeah,
so
true. Yeah,
you're back there for like 2 or 3 days, and there could be fingerprints.
And actually, you're probably right though. Think about it, because
the ones you're going to diddle are the ones that are going to get burned up in 2 days anyway. No one's going to be looking
at
them.
Exactly. Right, yeah, no one cares if the pages are torn.
Oh, this one's dog-eared.
Oh, dude, highlight under that.
So
the best way, I think, for you, as far as I understand it, is you want to be the grandma tied to the chair
up? No, because then you got all those army guys touching you doing God knows what.
Oh, eaten by sharks.
Sure, yeah.
You're already, let's say like you die, and then all we got to do with the ceremony is kick you off the dock.
Well, I want this to be filmed from every angle so no one's touching anything.
Oh, the sharks can't have a body cam on it, don't worry.
You know what, you should call Sean now and get this all set.
Yep, we'll get the shoot ready to go. Yes. Absolutely.
The cremation guy has to be like, you know, just once, Ted, I would like to fucking burn somebody with a cum on their toes, but I guess that's never going to happen.
You got to give up your dream someday.
But yes, we put the...
Oh, now I'm just thinking about it, cremating and the toe. It's bubbling off the toe.
Oh,
it's
Lord.
Like a little pop, and then the fire takes hold. And
a pop, a fizzle.
Hello, anyway. Sounds like semen bubbling up.
What's that smell?
Oh, it's a churning cauldron.
But yes, they burn the bags, and you know, Ernie's like, don't worry. Everything's going to burn right up the bone. The heart's going to take the longest, but I can just make it hotter.
Find it hotter. Jesus Christ, man. How hot do you want this thing?
Dust to dust. And then we were following more smoke. And in my head, I'm just like, because it is the same kind of thing. Synth kicks up and you're seeing the chimney shooting
green
smoke out
of it. Green
smoke
comes out of the chimney, which I believe is a symbol for a goth pope.
Yes, goth pope has been selected. And this... The conclave for Goth Pope has selected suicide.
Yay!
Pope suicide.
But it goes
Bauhaus. Sisters of Mercy, Bauhaus.
Smoke into the sky. And then it's great because one of them, Ernie, somebody's got a line of like, oh, and don't worry about it. The rain will wash it all away. Yeah. And then you realize what's going on. The smoke is getting caught in the rain cloud, and the chemicals are going back down in the rain, and falling onto the cemetery grounds.
And getting seeping in, and yes.
Cause and effect. Who would know that would work?
All this great shit. I love the cool shot of like following underground, like the rainwater and everything is really cool.
This is it's also acid rain, so it's burning the kids, so they have to run back in the car.
Yeah, the nudist of them all, Trash, is like, oh, my skin burns.
Well, she's like, oh, my God, this sucks. I'm like, why are you naked in a graveyard, lady?
I'm sorry, but how else am I going to get Metropolis homage in here? How else am I going to get all these death sex worshippers to come around me and look at me and praise me?
It's true.
Maybe it's a thing where, like, she got naked. It was a fun bit.
Sure.
And then she can't. It's dark in the cemetery. I can't find my clothes. What's going on?
Bummer.
Now it's raining. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Well, you know, like last week we were talking Crocodile Dundee, a big voyeur movie.
Oh, a lot of people.
So this is the other side of the coin, the exhibitionist.
Yes, that's true.
Well, apparently Dan O'Bannon, he hired Casey because he was a regular at a strip club. And
No. Because I've read this. You're totally right, but it's
urban
just
legend.
It ain't no regular degular strip club. You read every time someone has told this story, it is some high-end VIP something or other.
Really?
And I'm like, what was O'Bannon doing in these places?
Is it like an escort club?
I think
Sydney from Melrose Place, I think.
Like a higher tier than like, you know, Jablonski's Pink Stink off the highway.
You know what? I need a new neon sign because you misspelled Jablonski yet again.
The Pink Stink is perfect, though.
You know what's right next to that? Pathmark. You get some cured meats, you go to a strip club afterwards.
One-stop shopping down at Pathmark.
Yes, we do cater to the Pink Stink next door. Come here and buy a six-pack of St. Johnny's Girl.
But he knew everybody. He was buying everybody Coke, apparently.
Yeah, he was the drug guy. Yeah, dude. I think it's some, like, you know, 10 grand a year membership. There's a card situation. Real deal security at the door.
He was loaded off of Alien, I guess.
Dude. These are the days.
This 86 is Aliens is happening as well. That thing.
Yeah, we're getting that ready to go. So, yeah, he's just living high on the hog. And, you know,
characters created by. That's how that shit works.
What's that? Did you say residuals?
So, you know, we're sitting in the car or whatever, and they're trying to figure out what to do. Suicide, of course, can't get his piece of shit car started.
Of course.
The car, we're like, it's so shitty. You're spray painting fun notes on the body of it because who could care? Yeah.
You put your name on it. Is that to claim ownership? Do you have the papers for
this
car?
Well, no, yeah, no. Suicide lost the pink slip for this this car a long time ago. It's just Suicide's automobile.
The best move for them would be to run into the supply Unity supply warehouse. So they right. do. Tina is looking for Freddy, and in doing so, she encounters a zombie.
Goes into the basement because she sees his hat sitting around. And she goes down. And
this is the coolest zombie.
The wet one. The really wet one.
With the big bulging eyes.
This is the vintage one from 69.
Yes. This is the dude that was in the barrel. And it's just this awesome. Are you here? Who's there? Cut brains. And you don't expect these fuckers to talk.
No.
And it's an awesome breath of fresh air.
The way it looks, really, it's like fantastic. I was watching Sesame Street or something.
It's what, the puppeteer.
What's that guy? John Puppet Guy.
Jim Henson.
Yes.
John Puppet John Guy.
Puppet Guy.
AKA Jim John Puppet Guy.
Come on down to Pathmark where we couldn't actually afford to say, we couldn't afford to say Jim Henson. We had to call him John Puppet Guy.
Would you like plush toys from John Puppet Guy's favorite TV show, The Truppets?
Guys, I was saving us from a lawsuit. We can't mention it.
It's true.
Oh, really?
No, you're right. You're right.
Yes. John Puppet Guy's Friends Take Manhattan.
All in the movie section at Pathmark. But yes.
Also, this zombie in... This is going to sound mean, but I hope you get what I'm putting down. Because also, speaking like a Muppet, it does sort of look like Dr. Teeth, which reminded me this oily guy does kind of, in the vaguest sense of the word, look exactly like Sid Haig.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. R.I.P., by the way.
Oh, R.I.P.,
looks like
definitely.
Sid Haig now.
Probably. About time, right? I think so.
Yeah, you're right. Well, no, maybe Sid Haig got the common sense to get fucking torched once he checked out.
Right,
man,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
He... If anyone knew what was going on with dead bodies, it was Sid Haig.
That's one body I wouldn't touch.
I don't often say this about Sid Haig, but I don't think he'd be wet.
No, dry as a bone.
No, yeah.
But the brains yelling, the talking is cool. And
brains.
This is what started that idea in zombie movies, apparently. It was always just...
Of brains,
yeah. It's like they want brains. Yeah.
Which is funny because there is some trivia thing about, like, Romero always had to correct the record that he didn't come up with that. And I just imagine, like, some dumb question, like
Q&A's.
40 years of Q&A's, right? It's like, well, I said it before, man, and I guess I'll just say it again. The brain thing wasn't my idea, man, all right? It was Russo's, all right, man? I had nothing to do with the brain idea, man, all right? Now I'm going to go smoke 8 cigarettes at once. Excuse me.
Well, I guess the brains is the best part, like, right? It's probably the juiciest.
It's how you get the essence.
Yes.
You know, so if you want to capture the essence, bring that soul inside yourself.
Probably got the most minerals. You could probably really you'd stay healthy on that.
Yeah, after you're not eating for years, it'd be good to
get
a nice
your guts
brain
moving, and they'll just fall out of you.
And it's probably kind of light, right? So like I've had like calf brain before. It's light, so you can eat a lot of it, not fill up.
It probably
on.
Comes
it's
out.
Not a dense meat. It's a very light meat.
You're having diarrhea. You're
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Tina hides in a supply closet. The other kids come in. And you again, like, it's a great subversion because you think here comes Suicide. He's going to save the day.
Yeah,
right,
the
he
big
gets,
guy.
Oh, he gets chomped right. Yeah. The skull
right the
chomp
head.
Here and the noise.
Oh, dude.
It'll make you shift in your seat.
I did because him and Scuzz get the same death. I kind of was upset about that. I kind of wanted a change him up.
But to the idea of, like, this being a really successful horror comedy, it's able to do the 1-2 immediately because it is hysterical when Suicide runs into the office and sees Sid Haig zombie standing there and he just goes, what the fuck?
Yes.
And then it immediately bites him and it's horrifying, but in that, what the fuck? That is so funny.
Yes.
This huge punk dude just, what the fuck?
Yeah, fucking Tina outsmarted this thing and you can't suicide. God damn it, man.
Oh, and then it's really great. After he's done with Suicide, he looks up and he's like, more brains. And Miguel Nunez just throws an empty jar at him. Like, yeah, that'll do it, dude.
So they hide him in the closet. Now we're realizing Both Frank and Freddie are really kind of sick.
Yes.
The funeral home guys think they still have solved the problem. They think they're totally safe.
Yeah, they're unaware of, you know, what the rain is doing or is about to do or whatever.
Call the paramedics. Paramedics come to check, and like it's like, oh, your body temperature is 70 degrees, which is room temperature.
Yeah, that's certainly weird, and you don't have pulses and all this stuff. And at this point, like, they really are sort of layering on the makeup, like they're looking way more pale. And, zombie-esque, as it were. I do love the, like, when these EMTs come, this is when it really sort of sets in that, like, this is a screwball comedy with gross zombie effects because it's like, what, it's just like watching a endless car crash where it's like people come to this dead end street, the death district of Louisville, and they do not leave, and they are just instantly dispatched, you know, with some frequency.
Yes.
Well, there's no heroic engine because there's no way to kill the zombies. That's the most interesting part about it, is that you can't allow for, because you keep on waiting, like, oh, one of these, they've got, you're like, at least the first time you watch, you're like, one of these times they got to figure out what's going to kill them, right? They've got to figure this out, and they never do. Like, that's, I think, what's really the key
to the
movie.
I guess because there's sequels, the army doesn't figure that out either.
No. The bombing did not work, it turns out.
But the teens, like, run back to the cemetery. The surviving teens run back to the cemetery. The cemetery is, like, flooded, basically. So they're, like, standing on, you know, various big tombstones or whatever else here. And then this is just the really great, do you want a party?
Oh, yes.
And then, like, all the zombies start coming up out of the ground, right? Yeah. This soundtrack fucking rules. It's really
a
great
soundtrack. This is when Trash gets it. It's her big nightmare, which she just spelled out 4 minutes ago.
Yep,
is
absolutely.
Being ripped apart by a bunch of old men, and she gets ripped apart by old
in watery mud, I guess. Mm-hmm. A pool of mud.
And she kind of turns into a super zombie, like a little vampire.
The leader.
Yeah.
It's literally Metropolis. She becomes the leader of the fucking... Well, I mean, that it's like...
Well,
like
she's the hottest
slaves.
One of them all, so that's how that works, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the hot one's their leader.
Oh, man, did her forehead get bigger? You know what? I'd still do it. I'd still do it.
But yeah, so the paramedics are, we cut back to them, and it's like, so basically, you're not alive right now. Like, clearly your brains are still working and everything, but you have like zero life vitals, like at all.
We're going to go back and call this in. And when they go outside, oops, they get zombied really quickly.
This is great. I do love this. We get a name on one of these EMTs, Jerry, and he starts the ambulance. And like when he does, the zombie's like right by the door. Yes. And it's a good... For a movie that doesn't have a ton of scares, mm-hmm. per se, like, this is actually a decent, like, jump scare in the
movie.
Sure. But, yeah, and then the other dude's like, Jerry, what's that noise? And then he's just, like two awesome defensive football players just fucking nail this dude.
And this is, I mean, these are fast zombies, by the way, Mr. Boyle.
Oh,
FYI.
You're right.
And very conversational. I love going on the radio. Yeah, send more paramedics.
Yes.
That is awesome. Yeah, and that's like when you realize, like, okay, it can go beyond brains, live brains, send more. But now it's like a full, sentences are happening.
Right. Yes.
Which is great. I love Ernie going out there. It's like, oh, we're going to go out. We're going to drive out. I'm going to back the ambulance up and then we'll all drive out of here or whatever. And he goes out, sees how fucked up everything is and like runs back in immediately. And then like, so he's completely changed into a, now we're totally fucked because I've seen what those things are out there. They're all over the place. They're picking us off one by one.
The kids realize that the UNITAS supply warehouse is not safe. So we run
into the funeral home.
Then from the funeral home, they run to the graveyard, then back to the funeral home, basically, is the idea.
Yeah, a lot of just running between, like, the three locations we have in this movie.
Sure. But, yes, now they're at the funeral home. It's because Casey and the other guy, Chuck,
yes,
are kind of there. They have a will they, won't they, and the answer is
Chuck,
won't
the
they.
Ska boy of the group.
Yes.
That checkered jacket.
Yes. It's very close to he's listening to like two-tone albums, absolutely. But yeah, he does a weird, it's kind of a funny, like, well, he doesn't say this, but it's kind of that conversation you have in some of these movies about like, well, if we're the only two left, we might have to repopulate the earth, like whatever it is. And she's just like, there's no chance anything is happening, Chuck. I actually, like, literally hate you, so I'm never going to have sex with you.
I want you to take a good look around us. things have to get significantly worse for me to be into this. Significantly.
So try to do the math on whatever that would look like. You know what, Chuck? Here's the deal. I'd have to be finding myself working at Pathmark after this.
Living in the basement of Pathmark, shopping from Pathmark, and working in Pathmark.
Oh, the Phantom of Pathmark.
Yes, yes!
Casey's Revenge, the Phantom of Pathmark.
Absolutely, dude. There's a fucking parody.
He's doing the big, like, he's got the big piano. He's doing all that, but up in Pathmark, it's like, da 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 da.
It was just maniacally playing elevator music in the grocery store. Oh man, I do love. You have to do the great. We're boarding up all the windows of the funeral parlor, and Miguel Nunez has this great line where they're like, the guy's like, "Oh, we got more windows over here," and he's like, "Man, how many windows have you got in this fucking place?"
It's honestly a good question. He's got way too much. It's a fucking mortuary. Come on.
Clue Gallagher around here calls him Dick Brain,
which
is a really... I love a good, like, old man giving you a real nasty, like, curse word nickname like that.
Dogface Pony Soldier.
But the
you just don't know what it means. It's crazy.
The Clue Gallagher of it all, he's doing, like, the he's staying high status the whole time, which is very stupid in this scenario. Which, I mean, is the point of the character, but, like, yeah, he's like, I'm running the show. It's like...
He never succumbs to the horror movie, like, zombie paranoia in the way, like, the rest of the characters do.
Yes.
Because he is still the manager of this medical supply store, goddammit.
And by something we didn't really mention about Ernie. Ernie loves getting hard. And by that, I mean he loves rigor mortis.
Yes.
And obsessed with it. And now he tells Freddie and Frank, actually, it looks like you're getting rigor mortis. You might actually just not be able to move anymore.
Yes.
You think for a second there that, like, Ernie's going to be able to do some of his limb-cracking moves that will give Freddy some sort of, like, relief from this pain.
And they're just screaming.
No,
they're just screaming from the beginning.
And it's kind of gross. It's like, oh, you see, this is the blood pooling in their back. That'll make you throw up.
Oh, dude, ooh. Yeah, that was gross. I was like, I don't know, Ernie, can you drain that man? Do I have to look at that for the rest
of
the movie?
And it's just a makeup effect. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's great about it.
It's just, yeah, someone did some purple and then did some, like, green around it.
Yes.
And that was it.
And it's so disgusting. But yeah, so like they're boarding it up. This is when Scuzz basically gets it.
Scuzz, yeah, another skeleton bite right here. This is Clue's got a great, oh damn, he's dead.
And they pull out one of the Ernie wants to talk to one of the half zombies. This lady, great puppet here.
It's awesome, this puppet.
Oh, was
man.
It John Puppet Guy did this?
I think this was some John Puppet Guy work.
Yeah, that's
right
why
here.
It looks so good.
They tie it up and they're like, why? Maybe we'll figure out a way to kill them.
Why are there so many movies about zombies? And what happens when you die?
Alternatively, brains. Oh, yes, brains.
Or you'd have animal, they're brains, brains, brains. It also work. It's
zombie Muppets. I love it.
Why not? But yeah, this thing is...
Bert, better get a shotgun for that zombie.
All right, Bert, so here's the idea. If they get in through the boarded up windows, first I'll kill you, and then I promise I'll kill myself. We don't have to do a same times thing. I know that's never going to work. So I promise I'll kill you, and then I'll shoot myself.
What
in the
if
face.
You fuck it up? I am going to slide myself into the crematorium.
Those zombies better not come over here. Hiya!
Someone could think that Kermit's a zombie because he's green.
Oh, yeah. Shit, you're right. Yeah.
Possibly. Is blood pooling on him?
Dude, that's what it is, right? It's like the end of the movie is, oh my God, the zombie warfare has gone on through the night. Kermit the Frog trying to pull himself out of this little farmhouse, you know, and then just gets shot right in the head and some fat guy's just like, there's another Muppet on the fire.
I would love it.
What great social commentary that would be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Soundtrack by Dr. Teeth.
Oh,
but she is screaming, like, and it's a great voice. I'm just like, oh, it hurts to be dead. It hurts to be dead.
The pain of being dead, dude. Yeah.
And the only thing that quells it is brains for a couple of minutes, you know.
I can feel myself rotting, she says.
Yes.
And it's such an interesting thing to get, like, the interior here of, like, what it's like to be a zombie, you know.
When do you think that stops? Like, how much, I mean, she's just a torso.
Yes.
Right.
I guess once your head, or, I guess, yeah, I mean, I don't know, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Annoying.
I think you do need to fucking cremate yourself, which is.
Yeah.
That's why James Karen's the smartest guy in the fucking movie, dude. It's
James great. Karen takes the Pathmark route out of here.
He really is. He's the hero.
There is a thing, you know, and I always say this when I'm about to criticize it, but I feel like open conversation is different than when you're tippity-tapping. Miguel Nunez, way too much just superfluous fucks.
Yeah.
Every sentence has a sure. fuck when, you know, where's the fucking bathroom even? Yeah. You know what I mean? It doesn't.
It's as bad as this podcast.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we don't write this.
No, I mean, but.
We just are filth talkers.
But yeah, but that is, I mean, these are all 31-year-olds, but like they're supposed to be teenagers. Yeah, and like teenagers talk like idiots.
I guess. Okay, so the movie Filth Talkers, it's Nick Cage decoding Nazi code that's all written in swears or
right,
something.
Right, yeah. It's just, there's so many curse words.
I'm one of the only people left to know the word fuck.
Well, this symbol keeps on repeating. That must be fuck.
I have to talk to a benevolent Italian guy to teach me how to curse. He's really good at it.
But yeah, all
Mr.
around
Minucci.
Here, we get sexy zombie. This is our tonight. We'll make love till we die.
Yes, all and right. just the music is killing it here.
I love this. We have this homeless gentleman here who I believe is played by Dan O'Bannon.
Yes,
and it's like, it's a zombie. Oh, I'm scared. Oh, but wait, it's a sexy zombie. I'm intrigued.
I'll take it. Your life's been pretty bad thus far. Why don't I do this?
Is that one of the girls from the strip club that I frequent for a lot of money? Oh, no, I'm dead.
This is the cops show up, and the cops are no help at all.
Oh, it's great.
And what? you get a good refrain of,
send more cops.
Good.
More.
And that guy looks like an Italian pervert.
He does.
I don't know why they dressed him up this way. It's a little weird.
The send more cops zombie?
Yeah, he's like got a suit on.
He does have a suit on. I think he also has a mustache.
Yeah.
His eyes are a little bit like damaged or like yellow for the zombie of it all.
Yeah, it looks pretty. Now maybe he's got like a hangover. He's hangover zombie. Yes. Maybe that's what that was.
Don't you deserve this dry, flavorless martini?
We realize that the chapel is probably a safe place to just cram Freddy and Frank.
Oh right, yes, the chapel in the funeral parlor. Yes,
just,
yes.
We'll lock the door. They'll be fine. Tina is very attached to Freddy. Dude, this. A, it's high school,
oh,
and B,
my
this
God.
Dude is dead. I don't care how big dude, probably nice cock on him.
Sure.
Got to move on.
There's plenty of other Freddies out there if you can survive this zombie apocalypse. No need to willingly be locked in a room with two of them.
Nope, it's totally fine.
Ernie at the same time is like, oh, well, we'll lock him in here for now. But by the way, I've got some nitric acid on hand that it melts anything.
Why don't we start huffing it right now? Because this thing is looking south right now.
I do kind of wish this acid effect was a little more
something.
It's nothing.
I kind of want like a skull head or something.
Yeah. You blew your wad on the Sid Haig puppet. Guy,
you're right.
He just makes his like eyes just like painted over, basically.
Yeah. He starts foaming at the mouth a little bit here when he turns, and he's like crazy, like chasing her around and whatever.
Yeah, he gets very Jack Nicholson, and this is when you know Frank is looking at this guy, and he's like, "I know it's coming."
Yep.
I remember where the crematorium room is.
Oh
God!
Yes.
The idea of just sitting on that thing, and he takes his wedding ring off, which is
very nice,
very poignant moment.
Moment here.
And he just burns himself to fucking cinders, man. And that is the way to go.
He does a little prayer, I think, asking for forgiveness of the suicide.
Yes.
Well, you have to, man. It's a sin.
This is kind of
also, I'm sorry we destroyed the world.
in the scale of the book, Saint Peter, this can't count. Honestly,
it can't.
It shouldn't. Okay. I mean,
I want to see this. You at the pearly gates, taking Saint Peter to court.
I would.
Let me point you to Matthew.
Is there anything about zombies taking over the world and eating the flesh of others?
Yes, it's the end of the book. Literally the whole back half. Right?
There's zombies in the back half. Really?
Yes. Jesus was a zombie.
Well, Jesus, yeah, but he's not eating flesh. I mean, like.
But he said, send more cops.
Oh,
it's right there.
Send more centurions.
Yes, there you go. Now we're talking.
Oh, dude, zombie Jesus horror movie.
Oh, that's something you'll scroll right past on Shudder. You're like, no, thank you.
Absolutely. Oh, don't worry. It's not as funny as you thought it was.
Remember that guy who was in that one scene of that one episode of Gilmore Girls? He's starring in Zombie Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Now that Jesus is in the public domain, they could do it.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, dude. Yeah, that great mashup movie where Jesus was on a killing spree with Winnie the Pooh and Popeye.
Oh, great.
A bloody day of resurrection. It's just the goriest fucking thing you've seen. Jesus like slaughters women for 2 hours. And it's a terrifier movie.
Yeah. They die for my sins, I guess. Damn.
Somewhere around here, Spider calls Bert a stupid honky, and it's like the funniest line of the
movie.
It's
really good.
It's because there's something about all these like viable cars that they could get out of there with just all start blowing up.
Yes. And it's like, I think like it's like I'll drive. Klugel Gallagher's like, I'll go out and I'll drive and we'll, you know, it's like, 'cause I'm the boss here or whatever. And they call him a stupid honky.
Yeah, I'm the boss of you, teen who was hanging out at the cemetery next door to my office.
Just shut up. It makes sense. And so like now it's Ernie and Tina are together, and Clue Gallagher and Miguel Nunez are in the car together.
Yep.
They can't go back. There's too many zombies.
I love the zombie cop pretending that he's a cop directing traffic for the rest of the cops. Like, right this way. And he somehow had the foresight to put his raincoat back on.
We do cut back to the general at one point where he talks to his wife and he's like, well, you know, she's like, when are those barrels going to be found? He's like, I don't know. You know, it's been years, and it's like, I kind of hope they never get found, i.e. this would be very bad if this ever happens.
Oh,
you know,
right. So we have three scenes with this guy?
I think there's one in the middle somewhere.
Because he gets, like, the phone call in the middle of the night.
There is one in the middle. Like, it's like him with his wife or something?
Yes,
Something like that.
It's very quick. But that's towards the end, too. It's not in the middle.
We're kind of towards the end now.
Yeah, we're pretty close. I mean, basically, so they Miguel Diaz and Clue Gallagher get in the car. Where are they going to go? The only other location, which is the Unita warehouse supply.
And then, you know,
you need a new location.
At this point, Ska Guy and Casey are hiding in like a crawl space.
Yes,
is the idea, and they get back into the warehouse here. There's also a police helicopter that shows up at this point, which is, you know, I'd like to see that thing go down.
Yeah,
you don't have the money for that.
No, you'll see that explode.
Or propellers taking out some of these zombies. That'd be nice.
Sure. That'd be kind of cool, too.
Ernie had suggested earlier that they could hide in the crawl space above the area and the zombies wouldn't be able to get up.
I'm not hiding in a goddamn attic. I think that's Miguel Nunez doesn't want to hide up there.
But now it's just him and Tina, and that's all they could do, so they go up there.
Yep.
He's got his gun, and like, again, Freddy's going full Shining downstairs. Like, come on, Tina!
Yeah, that's he's doing a lot of like... you made me break my hand completely off this time, Tina, because he's like banging on the fucking ceiling or whatever.
You hurt me really bad.
You gotta let me eat your brains. I'm so sorry, baby.
Clue Gallagher finally decides, all right, I guess I'll get in trouble with the government by calling the number on the tank, kind of a thing.
Fucking fine. Yes, the thing you should have done in the first place, but...
thing you should have done
not.
14 years ago when it was delivered wrong.
Yes. And I love the colonel getting on the phone here. It's just like, and when was the tank first breached? Uh-huh. And what happened next? Uh-huh. Like,
yes.
You're getting this. Right. And then the dead fucking rose from the ground.
Uh-huh. And he's like, what effect did that have?
We found the missing batch of Easter eggs or whatever.
Yes.
Like, oh, huh? Okay. Oh, that's great. Oh, well, the eggs have hatched.
yes. Yeah. The lost consignment of Easter eggs.
You know, if you want to find some broken eggs, try Pathmark.
Oh, dude.
Let me ask you something. Is it anything like what happened to the Pittsburgh Penguins last time this happened? Where they were just eating all up? That's totally terrible.
Come on down to Pathmark. Our eggs have hatched.
Guaranteed.
Would
by
you
the
like
way,
a chickadee?
Part of that agreement that Romero and Russo or whatever the other guy had, you can't go anywhere near Pittsburgh. Just you get.
Yep.
Pennsylvania is mine. You can go to Kentucky, Los Angeles,
yep.
Wherever you want to be. You stay the fuck out of Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. It's actually what they call it. It was the Romero policy. That's the M. Night policy. Now you stay the fuck out of Philadelphia. goddamn it. That's for daddy and daddy alone.
But yes, he calls the president.
Okay, maybe the stadium isn't in Philly technically, but it's supposed to be. All right.
Apparently, they have some kind of contingency plan.
Clue Gallagher was very relieved. Like, oh, the government's going to save us.
Miguel Nunez, rightfully suspicious. What kind of plan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
And it seems like Freddy is getting very close to getting in. And Ernie doesn't want to do it, but he's got the gun. It's like, well, I guess.
Yeah. The punchline to that Miguel Nunez comment, though, of like, what plan? It cuts to the military loading rockets into a fucking launcher or whatever. It's kind of great.
And he's talking to the president. The general is now. He's like, well, sir, actually, it's going to be very easy to do. And like, it's a very contained area. And, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah,
like,
we're going to do it.
12,000 people.
Nobody cares about Kentucky. let's be very clear about that.
And this, I mean, it's awesome because they launched this fucking rocket off.
Yes.
And it is you hear anything? bursts open. There's Freddy.
Yes.
Gina freeze frame.
Yes.
Which is kind of an awesome reference, I believe, to the what election commercial was it where the little girl stops and it's the freeze frame and the nuke siren goes off.
Oh, right.
Was it like something around like the Kennedy time? I don't remember what political ad it was.
That makes sense, yeah.
But it's like the little girl and you hear the air raid siren goes off and it
your children are going to fucking die.
Pretty much what it was.
I promise you. You're that fat Irish fuck run this country. Your children are going to fucking die.
And you just, you see the big mushroom cloud come up. You know, just there goes Kentucky.
Great little puppet.
Paid for by the zombie group.
But 5:01 a.m. Apparently only 20 square miles, they say. Less than 4,000 dead. The dude is like sounding
very cool.
Very excited about that, yeah.
It's as good as it could have gone and blah, blah, blah. And like, wouldn't you know it, there's a cloud now. The mushroom cloud, obviously.
Yep.
It starts moving over.
What are we going to do about all that stuff? Oh, well, there's more rain coming, so all should be back to normal by morning.
Oh, good.
Same skeleton zombie that we see rise out of the ground, because that's like you're getting your money's worth. You have much of an effect shot like comes out.
That one looks really good.
It's really awesome, and it ends on that freeze frame. Do you want a party?
Yes.
It's fucking awesome. And this movie knows you had such a good time watching it. You watch the whole thing again as the credits roll.
Absolutely. A fun little victory lap.
Every last fucking scene almost. It's almost like when they condense the credits on a television broadcast.
Yeah.
But instead of the credits, they just condensed the whole movie and played it really fast.
Well, it's such a short runtime, right?
Yeah, so, it's like 90-something. Yeah.
It's a really quick one in and out.
It's like 80-something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like Seinfeld credits where you're just showing your favorite scenes.
Yeah, exactly. There's one of the Tom Matthews things that they let the audio come back in for, and it's the you mean the movie Lied?
Yes.
I just love the way that dude speaks. Jason, you pussy. You mean the movie Lied? Come on, Tristan.
He's great.
It's great. It's not a bad question, Bert.
You were right. 91.
Okay.
91 what?
Minutes.
Yeah.
And I think actually probably the credits might be longish. Yeah, you know, any one of those deals?
Oh, it's an 83-er, I think. For sure. It takes a while to get these on.
A lot of music credits you want to get in there.
Those opening credits are also pretty long.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, got to make it feel like a real movie. Man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Got to get your VHS worth.
Alan Dwan could do that with 70 minutes, so eat my dick.
Oh, there you go, dude. But, you know, sometimes short movies make short episodes, and that is the end of the Return of the Living Dead. We'll go around the horn here for some final thoughts, Eric Sisko.
Yes. It's a recommend. It's a lighter recommend. I don't have the reverence as some of you guys have for it. I do like it, though, and I kind of really wish I had seen this before everyone else ran with it. You know, even Shaun of the Dead, I feel like indebted to this.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So I'm watching this movie and I'm seeing shades of other movies in it, which it should be the opposite.
Yes. Yep.
So that kind of just fucked me.
That's tough. Yeah.
But I had a good time. I had a good time with it still.
Yeah, there you go. Chris Cabin.
Better effects, though. This, of course, is a recommend. I mean, this is a silly, fun movie. The politics are honestly, it's so funny that they were like, we got to split on the politics. The politics of this are very close to what George Romero's politics are.
I think I misspoke on that. I think it's just like they wanted to present the ideas in a different, like Romero obviously
was a very serious moral filmmaker.
And Russo he wanted to like, let's have that message, but have it be fun to watch at the same
time. One of them wants you to drink in the theater. And I believe that to be O'Bannon. It's a hell of a fun time. Even the sequel, not that bad. Pretty fun.
The second one. I
haven't seen the third one. The third one's terrible.
The third one is not good. I don't know that I've seen one. They're making another one, I think. Well, they made two things back to back in like 2005, and it just looks like garbage.
Well, it's the name of something that was already released, so it has to be released again.
Yes.
But they did two other sequels after part three, and I think they were even dropping numbers. But they're serious. They're in like 2005 or something like that.
85, no, Living Dead, Living Dead 2, 88, Living Dead 3, 93, Return of Living Dead, Necropolis, 05.
Oh, there we go.
Rave of the Grave, also 2005. But now, Return of Living Dead in 2025. I don't know if this is a real thing. It's planned for a 20 December release date. It's directed by Steve Walsh, whoever that is.
I don't remember.
It's just called Return of the Living Dead, I guess.
Anybody big?
No, I don't think so. And then some TBA, this is definitely fake. Trash's Revenge. Another yeah, that's not real.
That's the title of a DVD extra, probably.
Made for $200.
Wait, the film will... This is on Wikipedia, so take this as a... The film will star Linnea Quigley, who played Trash the original film, Tom Matthews, and Eric Roberts, among others.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like a must-miss.
I think this movie is not a must-miss, to get to my recommendation. Again, I only saw it like 3 years ago, and now I've seen it about twice. This is my third time for the show. It's super fun. I think I talked about it on the Sleazoids podcast. That's why I saw it again. It's super fun. It's very funny. If I saw this as a teenager, I would have seen this a million times. Like, this is like a perfect movie for a teen that's figuring horror shit out.
Sorry, Steve. Wouldn't you be scared to even rent this movie?
That's why I didn't see it. You're totally right. But if I was cool.
Yes, of course.
But no, the punk aesthetic and like... There's punk aesthetic movies and other movies that have punk aesthetics. This has like a real, it is that sort of like, fuck it, we're going to party and we're going to fucking die kind of a thing.
It's
like,
but it goes beyond the aesthetic though, right?
Yes.
Politics are very punk.
An
ethos.
Yes.
The filmmaking itself is very punk.
Yes. Like,
it's very lo-fi.
Yes.
So anyway.
It's not just the music. It's not just the costumes. It's the ethos. It's how everything is explained in the film. How the movie moves is very punk. And it rules.
It's not going to talk about the roots of punk the way like something like Suburbia does, but like it is, I think, as serious as you say, the ethos. I think it's about as serious as you can get.
Yeah, no, it's a recommend for me. I just have to say, I pulled up that 2025 Return of the Living Dead, and it starts auto playing what can only be like a teaser. See more at returnoftheLivingDead.com.
I won't be doing that.
But the teaser is a Sid Haig zombie dragging a Christmas tree through a cemetery as it snows.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, I got a feeling, folks, we got a little bit of a high-budgeted fan film on our hands here.
It's entirely possible.
Very likely.
I think that is what
you always
got to
watch out
here.
For those these days.
Taking place 18 months after the events at the UNITA warehouse in Louisville, a new trioxin 245 leak puts a small Pennsylvania town on the brink of a zombie outbreak during Christmas 1985.
Why would you title your direct sequel the same title?
That doesn't make any sense. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think it's so mooks like us look at it and go, they're making another one.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then you look at it. But no, yeah, this is fun. Watch it during the July 4th BBQ times and just realize you're having a better time than anyone in this movie. That's for sure.
Absolutely sure.
But that is going to do it for this episode on The Return of the Living Dead. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/WeHateMovies, where you can get episodes exactly like this one, sans commercials. How about that? Commercial-free We Hate Movies on that
Patreon.
Right,
like this episode is there. Commercial-free.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Where we also do things like We Love Movies, where... this month, we're still, it's still June here, so we're still, the WLM is still 28 days later. Zombie theme here. That was a lot of fun revisiting with that one. What we have going on
Once in a Lifetime.
Of course, we've got Killer Contractor. One of the best things we've ever watched of the Lifetime breed. It's really
such
something.
A fun, stupid movie.
Yes, it's on YouTube in full if you want to watch along.
Absolutely. We had a great conversation. Yes. It was a lot of fun.
Listen along as well.
That's right.
We just did on Animation Damnation an episode on Superman, the animated series, one of my favorite animated series of all time, one of my favorite episodes with Gilbert Gottfried as Mr. Mitzelflick. By the way, speaking of something we just did, which is still available, we just did our live virtual show on Superman 2, which is still available for about 10 more days or something like that.
That's right. We only did it last Friday.
Exactly.
So we have 14 days after the replay.
You could rebroadcast that. It was a lot of fun. It was super fun, super funny. We loved it.
Also, next, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, which is the 24th of June here, on the 26th, we have an all-new Gleep Glossary.
We will be discussing Andor Season 2. A lot of people wanted us to discuss Andor. It fell by the wayside, but we're going to dedicate a whole episode to it.
And we could
go through it.
We could, I think, even technically, could we just call it the Cassian Andor episode? Because he's just in the movies, right?
That is his bio.
That's all the movies, right?
Explosive ending, yes.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, keep the content train rolling. This Friday, The next syncable commentary. That's right. Our John Wick Tumentary is coming out. Mm-hmm. Us talking over that bad boy. Love seeing Keanu back in the suit and the guns.
Eric's on the upper level cursing at me quietly. I'm cursing at him from the lower deck quietly.
That's right.
Going
but
back
I've got
and forth.
The special hitman money and you don't. See you later.
He's got coins. All the coins to get into the Continental. But as always, like we say around here, every Tuesday there's a brand new episode. The Summer Blockbuster Extravaganza is continuing, though this is the end of Totally Cool Awesome 80s month. We're getting into July, and Steve, what hot, piping hot pod do we have coming down the pike?
It might be the stupidest movie ever made. Mm. It's Lucy. It's from 2014. Noted by great guy Luc Besson.
Oh, yes.
Creepitude off the charts. But no, who's seen Lucy?
I have not seen
it. I did not check
it. I was going to make a joke and I can't now.
Your brain is going to leak out of your ear.
I'm excited because Luc Besson can be very trash and I kind of like his trash. So
sure.
Do me a favor.
Okay.
You get 30 minutes in and write down what you think she's going to turn into.
Okay.
You just that. I'm just saying that.
I don't even know what the movie's about.
That's you don't need to. Just about you'll find out 30 minutes she's turning into something.
Okay.
What do you think she's turning into? Because you will be blown the fuck away.
I can't wait to be blown the fuck away.
Is
next
it a
week.
Sid Haig oil zombie?
That would have been better.
So until next week when Eric and I are blown the fuck away with Lucy, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siskel.
Chris Gavin.
Take it easy.